It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
In The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, poet T.S. Eliot posed the question, "Do I dare to eat a peach?" I've always wondered if that literary inquiry referred to some deep, hidden meaning, or if Eliot was just in search of a rhyming companion for the word beach. Its use surely had nothing to do with the worthiness of the taste of a peach, because in most people's eyes and mouths, there is nothing more glorious than biting into that golden, tree-ripened fruit. As far as I'm concerned, Eliot's query would have to do with my ability to stop at one peach, because when confronted with a heavily laden tree or a display of peaches at a roadside stand, I tend to go on a peach-eating binge. Please note that I'm talking about tree-ripened fruit, not the kind that have been picked green enough to travel long distances. These hapless excuses for peaches never really ripen, but turn rubbery or spongy and remain tasteless no matter how long you let them sit on a countertop or in a brown paper bag. But as luck will often have it, tree-ripened peaches can be found at lots of farmers' markets or pick-your-own establishments in much of the U.S., partially because peach trees can survive in many areas of the country. As long as they have some cold winter weather and don't lose their blooms to a late freeze, peaches should be available from backyard gardeners or commercial orchards during the late summer in our part of the plains. And for this widespread abundance, we have the Native Americans and the westward searching settlers to thank. The trail of the peach begins in China as far back as the 10th century BC. It then traveled the trade routes to Persia, where Alexander the Great brought some home to Greece. The Romans fell in love with the taste of what they called Persian apples and carried them throughout their considerable empire. A favorite of Louis XIV in France and Queen Victoria in England, they actually made it to our shores aboard the ships of Spanish explorers. First planted in the South, peach trees soon were grown along the eastern seaboard. Native Americans bartered peach pits and scattered them along their trails. As settlers took up the call to go west, they often carried sacks of the dried fruit, as well as pits and seedlings, to plant on homesteads and in mining camps throughout the country. Thus, the peach tree is one of our most widely planted and best-producing fruit trees. Peaches vary in color from white to yellow to red, but all are from one of two types, either freestone or clingstone. Clingstones are primarily used for commercial canning or jams. Freestones can be split in half by hand and the pit easily removed, making them easier to prepare and handle on a non-commercial basis. The great-granddaddy of American peaches, the Alberta, is a freestone and was first planted in Georgia. Its popularity quickly became widespread and resulted in Georgia getting its well-known moniker, the Peach State, and in its female residents often being called Georgia Peaches. Though Alberta is still a mainstay of the peach industry, there are many new varieties, and though still a peach powerhouse, Georgia has become third in production, behind California and South Carolina. My favorite peach is the most persnickety for growing and handling. White-fleshed peaches are by far the sweetest, but because they're fragile and easy to bruise, they're the hardest to find. For years, I had a white Belle of Georgia tree at our place, until it finally expired from old age, hastened by borers. It was small and early to bloom, which meant that many years it froze out. But on a rare white peach summer, I could stand in our orchard and make a meal of the ambrosial morsels that would melt in your mouth. No need to peel the peach fuzz. Just be sure you bring a good-sized napkin or an absorbent shirt sleeve to take care of the juice.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.